Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
Who is absolutely thrilled that they decided, I'm going to church this morning? Very good. I am thrilled that you decided I'm coming to church this morning. I'm thrilled that I'm here, but I'm thrilled mostly that you're here. My name is Greg. My wife Vanessa and I, we have the honor and privilege of being campus pastors here on the East End. We love our leaders, Pastor Sam and Jess. We're so thankful that they would choose and trust people, really foolish people like us, to care for and look after and even preach the word for this campus and for this season. So I'm thankful for that. But I'm mostly thankful that you're here. Oh, my goodness. We're in the middle of this God First series. Who's been loving God First 1 week? We're 1 week in. Maybe you don't even know that you love it. You're going to love it. You're loving it today in the name of Jesus. Last week, Pastor Sam was preaching. He was talking about vision and purpose for 2019. We did these little dream cards here. If you weren't here last week or you missed this for some reason, some way, shape, or form, maybe you listen to the podcast and you're like, man, I wish I had one of those cards. Please, we've got some over at the welcome spot. Go speak to the host at the welcome spot after the service. All this is kind of articulating your dreams for 2019 in some fashion, okay? So it says, when you are completely in Christ, you are the best version of you. Hello, that's good news, right? Think about who you are when you're fully in God, and then there's four questions that it lists. Okay, give me a second here as I have a sip of water. It says, write down what this person is called to do. Write down one habit that I commit to change that does not line up with who I am in God. What this person is called to do, that's like, this person's called to pray. This person's called to serve. This person's called to push, fight, strengthen, empower, release. These are like God dreams that he puts in people's mouths. This person's called to speak. This person's called to sing. What's the thing that you feel like God's calling me to this and I haven't stepped into it yet? God's calling you to create, maybe. One thing that I commit to change, there are probably a list of them. I know for me, there's a list of things that I'm committing to change. These are often what we call resolutions, and we change them for about 3 weeks if we're really persistent. maybe 3 days if we're not so persistent. That's a joke, guys. Come on. Working to be a better person here. This year, I believe these dreams are coming to pass. It's like I'm believing to buy a house. I'm believing to change my career path. I'm believing to start a business. What are some dreams that God's put in you for this year? And then how will I get involved to make C3 Toronto better this year? Here's the deal. Is God didn't create us just for me, just for a me mindset of my world, my life, my pathway. God puts us in communities. Maybe if C3 Toronto is not your home church, that's totally all right. How will I get more involved at my home church? Insert your home church name there to make it better this year. God's put us in the context of community that we call the local church to change the planet. I'm convinced that the local church is like the change agent for the country of Canada, for the globe, for the nations, and he chooses crazy, foolish, unsure, thinking they're not good enough type people like myself and probably yourself to do massive things for him. But we have to commit to make a decision. How am I going to make it better this year? And it's avoiding things like complaining. It's taking that complaint and saying, I'm going to make that better. I'm going to run a connect group this year. I'm going to sign up for the internship in February. I'm going to jump on a team. I'm going to ask my team lead, how can I serve you better? I'm going to make it my mission to recruit 10 new people for the team this year because I know the impact that being on team has had for me, and I want to share that with somebody else. But then you can keep this maybe in your Bible. because you bring your real Bible to church, just like this one. Like, it's thick, it's got pages. You put in your notepad, but it's like a reminder. Maybe you post it on your wall, on your mirror in the morning, but it's a reminder of what you feel like God's asking you to do this year, how you're going to step in, how you're going to grow. And it's an awesome way to start the year prioritizing God. Amen? Amen. So that was last week, and it was incredible. This week is also going to be awesome. I'm stoked. I'm ready. Are you ready? Very good. You're allowed to respond. You don't have to just leave it up to like the front couple of rows to respond. Even at the back, you're allowed to respond. Be like, hey, yo, I like that. That's good. Front to back. So today, we're still in this God First series, and it's all about prioritizing and choosing to book God before everything else. The word first means first. It means before everything. It means ahead of everything. When you win a race, you are the first person across the finish line. And I feel like we live in this culture where it's offensive almost for things to be first. It's like we want to cut down. It's like this tall poppy syndrome. We want to cut down whatever's trying to advance higher or greater, because everything, there should be equal opportunity, and it should be equal belief level, and it should, like, you're not allowed to rise up in that way, because that makes me uncomfortable. But God's calling each and every one of us to rise up in that way. We're not supposed to look at someone rising up and be uncomfortable about it. We're meant to be inspired and choose, I'm going to grow. I'm going to step in like they're stepping in. And so today, I'm preaching out of John 15, if you want to turn there in your Bible. But here's the deal. We often get in the middle of these processes, in the middle of these painful moments sometimes, the middle of hurt, middle of a journey, and it's like, man, I am ready to give up. Man, 2018, if I was honest, it sucked a little bit, we think, sometimes. Last year was tough, and I don't even know how can this year, like, where am I going this year? What's the vision ahead of me? What's the thing that I'm striving towards? And we get in the middle of the process where we feel like everything's being stripped away from me, and I don't have reason. Like, all these things are being stripped away from me, and I don't understand why, and it's painful, and I don't get it, and so I'm ready to give up. And today, I'm believing that what I'm going to help you today in that process. Because as all this stuff is being stripped away, I promise you, God is still up to something in you. God is still doing something in your life. And He's using the stripping away, He's using the pulling off to mold you and build you and create you to be better. There is a better you today than there was yesterday. There is a better you in tomorrow than there is even today, because God is in a transformative process of building and growing people. And so the title of my message, if you want to write it down on the top of your notepad or on your phone, if you're taking notes on your phone, that's totally cool. I will talk to you after the service. I'll pray for you in the corner. But hey, I always encourage you, bring your Bible, bring your notepad to church. It makes a difference to, like, write stuff down and look back to it. Like, we change phones probably every 6 months. These days, it feels like some people are like, got to get the next hot thing, and then you lose your files or they become corrupt or whatever. It's much more difficult to lose these little paper notepads, you know, and there's just some weight to them, you know. You can put them in bookshelves, and then when paper disappears, you've got all this currency, and I don't know. Okay, the title of my message is The Single Source. God First, Single Source. And when things are single sourced, they tend to get, there tends to be a higher cost to them. They tend to be more valuable, like single source. Oh, you got that thing? There's like only one place you can get that from. Single source could also mean there's nowhere else to get this thing from. We often go to so many sources to get our nourishment. We go to so many sources to get energy for the day. We go to so many sources to find purpose. If I can invest enough in my career path, I can gain purpose. But the kingdom of God, I'm not saying there's anything wrong. If I can invest myself in this relationship enough, then I can find my identity. I'm not saying that there's anything bad about relationships. There's anything bad about a career vision, a plan for your life. But where it becomes corrupted and a bit bad is when you start to put those things above God as the source. He is the single source for your life. He is the single area that you can find comfort and hope and peace. He is the single spot that you can find meaning and purpose. And so I'm going to read to you from John 15. But before I do, let me pray. Jesus, thank you that you're here. So thankful that you are incredible, awesome, fulfilling, wonderful. God, I pray that today you would use me to speak to some people, that there would be open hearts, open minds to hear and listen what you have to say. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So John 15, are you there? If you're not there, that's all right. It's up on the screen behind me. And starting in verse 1, it says, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. That even right there speaks to me that there's probably some untrue vines. Some untrue things that we try to connect to get nourishment. Untrue things that we try to connect to grow. But Jesus is saying to his disciples that I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, check this out, he prunes. That might be a word that you might want to circle or underline or highlight in your mind. Prunes. Everyone say prunes. He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. But you are already clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Remain in me, Jesus says, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit. Everyone say, bear fruit. Unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is cast away, thrown into the fire and withers. Such branches are picked up, I already said that part, thrown into the fire. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you can ask whatever you wish, and it'll be given to you. This is to my Father's glory so that you will bear much fruit and showing yourselves to be my disciples. Thank you, Jesus, for that wonderful, artistic, beautiful statement in John 15. My first point comes right out of verse 2, which says that, which is branches are pruned. Number one, branches are pruned. And maybe you're here and you're like, what the heck does that mean? What does pruning mean? I actually looked into this. Maybe you're an arborer and you already know what it means. Maybe you're a gardener and you understand what pruning means. But pruning, check this out. Thank you, Wikipedia. You can check my sources afterwards. Maybe I'll fail the grade because I didn't do my research properly. But I checked a couple different sources. This seemed accurate. And there's meaning to this. I believe the Holy Spirit's going to speak through this process of what pruning is in your life. Okay, so this is what pruning is with a plant. It's the targeted removal, the intentional removal of diseased and damaged and dead or non-productive or unwanted tissue. And my Bible just said that every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm in the middle of the process and I feel like there's things in my life that God is like cutting away, that he's like stripping back and he's removing. And I'm like, what the heck is going on? Why does this hurt so much? Have you ever found yourself asking God that question? Why does this have to hurt so much, Jesus? But he's in the process of pruning you. He's in the process of specifically and intentionally picking out areas in your life that are bringing disease. There's areas in your life that are not producing hope. There's areas in your life that are not sustaining and growing you. And God, as the gardener, is pruning you because he wants you to bear so much more fruit, just as the Bible says. There's habits in our life that we feel like are being pulled away, even through maybe a conversation with leadership or a conversation with a friend. I've got a, like, maybe you've got this habit of inconsistency, and you're just finding that people keep calling it out. They're like, hey, you said you were going to show up to this, like, thing I was hosting the other day, and you didn't show up. What's up with that? And you're like, oh, that made me a little bit uncomfortable. Like, we're in Canada. Don't you know that you're supposed to be really polite and kind to me? You're showing, like, a habit of inconsistency. Your boss is calling you up on these different things. Like, hey, you haven't performed in this area. Hey, you're showing up late to this thing. Hey, you're... And you're asking yourself, this is painful. Like, I feel like I'm always on the chopping block here. What is happening? And really, God is using people. God, as the gardener, is using people to prune from your life these areas that are not building your future. Because he wants you to bear fruit. He wants you to grow. He wants you to change and transform. But it's a process of stripping certain stuff back. Maybe he's stripping back excuses from your world. You feel like, man, everything that's happening, it really actually does feel like my fault. I don't even have any excuses to say. I'm like striving to make up excuses, and then you're wondering, why the heck does all this stuff keep going wrong? Why the heck is what I'm fighting for not actually making it? Why the heck am I not fulfilling my role? And you're trying to come up with excuses, but God, as the gardener, is pulling excuses out of your language. He's pulling excuses out of your mindset, because he knows that excuses are like a disease. That they're going to cause the plant of your life, they're going to cause the nourishment of your life to actually shrink and not grow. And God wants you to grow today in the name of Jesus. That he is growing you even now as you're hearing these words. He's growing you as you're sitting in worship and listening to him and praising him, that he's growing you. But it's a painful process, this changing process, this pruning process. He's pulling away excuses because he wants you to learn that I need to take responsibility. That a healthy thing for me to do is step up and take responsibility. Even when responsibility isn't mine, if I can just grab a hold of it and say, I'm going to be better. Pastor Sam always says a statement that small people, small leaders, every one of us is a leader, but I'll say small people just so you can relate more. Small people push the blame and big people take responsibility. And you are a big person. And big people say, this is mine. Big people say, I'm so sorry, hosting team lead, that those flags weren't set up straight. I'm going to do better next time. Rather than say, yeah, but did you see the other team did it this way, and then last week it was a bit different, and this piece was missing. God is pulling excuses out of your life because he wants you to grow and change and build. Sometimes I feel like maybe finance is being stripped out of your life, and it's not because finance is such a bad thing, but maybe it's because the security that you find in your life is actually rooted in how many dollars and cents are in your bank account. And so you feel like, man, where is this money going? I had this bill, and then I had this bill, and you're like, God, where are you? I'm in the middle of this process, and I've just received, like, I just got into a car accident, and it was my fault because I'm taking responsibility, and now I've got these bills to pay, and God, where are you? And God, as a gardener, is in the process of pruning away the thing that's diseasing your life. And it's not that finance is diseasing your life, but it's this security and this love and this desire for finance that brings you hope and vision that God wants to prune away so that you could find a real source of hope and vision, a real source of security that's going to bring you life and hope, and it is in him. Maybe there's relationships in your world. That's like you have this sense, I need to let go of these people. I'm speaking to this because I have been there. I have walked through this. Before I met Jesus, I was hanging out with all the wrong people. I was on a definite wrong path. And I was a big time dope smoker, which is totally okay now that it's legal, whatever. But I believe that there is a mindset thing where you need to be in a place where you can care for people and look after people. And drugs mess with your mind in a way that don't allow you to do that. And I was drinking on weekends, and I was cursing often. And I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up in a Catholic family. And I always had this like deep thing in me that knew that this stuff wasn't healthy for me. And then I started dating Vanessa, and she basically told me, like, early dating, I smoked dope one time. I called it dope. That was weird. I'm sorry, podcast. I'm sorry, church. Pastor shouldn't call the weed dope. And Vanessa basically told me, I can't be with a person who's going to do that. And it wasn't a manipulative thing, but it was like God speaking through her that there's vision ahead of you and you need to let go of that habit. This is 11 years ago, and it was all my friends at the time. I mean, some of them, I still love those people. They're incredible. They're awesome. But they would ask me questions like, Greg, you're changing. What is happening? And it was tough because I'd spent time building these relationships through high school, through junior high. And it's like, these were a close-knit group of people that knew me and I knew them. And all of a sudden, they're being stripped out of my life. And maybe you're in a time, in a season, where there's relationships that you know are being stripped away from your life, that God is pruning the disease. He's having targeted removal of diseased areas in your life, and you're saying, what the heck is going on? And it's because he's pruning you, because he has more for you. He has a bigger future for you, and he knows that these areas are not going to bring life, and he wants life for you. And it's tough, and it's challenging, but oh my goodness, it's so worth it. Because, again, according to Wikipedia, here's why plants get pruned, okay? And I love the Bible. Do you love the Bible? Oh my goodness. You could sit in this word pruning for days and just say, God, oh my goodness. Keep going, even though it hurts. Keep pruning these areas, even though it hurts. Why does a gardener prune, okay? So the gardener prunes a plant for shaping it. So maybe God's pulling away these things from your life because he wants to shape you. He wants to mold you. He wants to build you into a whole new you. That 2019, the complaints of 2018 are gone in the name of Jesus, because you are a new you, that God has shaped you. He does it because the gardener is preparing the plant for a transplant. He's preparing to move it. He's preparing to take it to a new atmosphere, to a new place. And God is taking you to a new place. And so he's cutting away the things that don't belong. He's cutting away the things that need to be changed in you so that you can thrive and grow in this new place. He does it to improve and to sustain life. Oh my goodness, that is good news. This painful process is actually to improve and to sustain my life. It's not to hurt you. It's not to break you. It's not to bring you out of a place of hope. It's actually to sustain and to produce life in you. And finally, he does it so that it can have an increased yield. And God is increasing the yield of your life today. That as he's cutting away those things, it's so that you could bear so much more fruit. So that your life could be so much bigger for the people around you. So that you can actually change the city of Toronto in some way, shape, or form. Because he's teaching you. And he's quickening you. And he's reviving you through this process that's cutting things away. It's like, oh my goodness, why does it have to be that way? And we have a decision of how we will react to these things. It's always our decision. I absolutely love what Amanda was saying, this thought that it's a really simple process. Miracles are a very simple process. It takes belief, and belief takes a decision. That's like a two-step simple walk towards a miracle. The book of Hebrews that talks all about faith in chapter 11 has this statement about these people who were still walking in the promise, even though they hadn't seen it yet, because they knew that in heaven, their promise had already come to pass. And so a decision of faith says that I'm going to walk and speak and talk as if this thing is already happened, because it's already happened. And that's why I was encouraging you this morning that your miracle has happened already in the name of Jesus. That what you're believing for, it has come to pass already. That God is up to something in this room and in his people. But it's up to us how we react to this pruning process. And we can choose to complain about it. We can choose to be downcast and upset about it. Like, oh God, fasting. Oh, talk about pruning. I've pruned nearly 15 pounds off my life. Just drinking water. But we can be like, oh my goodness, I'm so hungry. I have so much lack of energy. I just want to sleep. This is hard. This is difficult. I just want to be eating meat. I just want to be watching Netflix. I just want to be whatever it is. We can complain. We can choose that this suffering is not worth it. This suffering is destructful. This suffering is painful. Or we can choose, just like my Bible says in Romans, that we can rejoice in our sufferings because we know it's producing in us hope. We know it's producing in us perseverance. Perseverance is developing character, and character is developing hope. And guess what? Hope doesn't disappoint. Hello, that's good news. But we get to choose how we react to these things. I'm going to repeat a statement I said last time I was preaching, because I kind of made it as a throwaway statement, and I don't know if you got it. But we choose how we react to things, and we can react from a place of emotion, or we can react from a place of faith. And what happens is that feelings are an inward reflection based on external truths, and faith is an outward reflection based on internal truths. So we get to choose how we react. And we can react based on our circumstance. We can react based on all the pain that I'm going through. Or we can react based on there's something inside of me that is building. There is something inside of me that is growing. And I'm going to continue saying yes. I'm going to continue stepping in. I'm going to continue shouting out and declaring that God is good, because he is mighty and he is awesome and he is working through me. In the name of Jesus. Hebrews 5, verse 7 and 8, just because we did Majesty last month, and just stay in the book of Hebrews, man, it's powerful. Check this out. Hebrews 5, verses 7 to 8, it's up on the screen. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. He was heard. Why was he heard? Because he was the Son of God? No, he was heard because of his reverent submission. Oh my goodness. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. What is God teaching you through your suffering? What are the things that God's trying to build in your world through this painful process of cutting things out, of removing things, of pulling away these comfort areas that we build in? Is he teaching you a sense of trust? That you need to learn that he is good no matter what. That he is definitely good on the mountaintop, but he is just as definitely good in the valley. He is just as definitely good in the crap that we go through. Is he teaching you a sense of hope that, man, I've been striving for this thing for years and years and years, and it hasn't come to pass yet, but God is putting hope inside of you as a decision to hope. A decision to believe, a decision to say that it does, my external truth is not going to dictate my language. My external truth is not going to dictate my posture, but my external truth is not going to dictate who I am or what I stand on. I've got an internal truth that says that I'm a bigger person, that says that I'm a growing person, that I'm being shaped and molded and changed and adjusted and ready to move in the name of Jesus. We are pruned so that we could be more fruitful, which brings me to my second point, is that branches bear fruit. Your life bears fruit, I promise you. Your life is bearing fruit right now. There is good things coming in your life. There is good things being produced in your life even now. It's a promise that as we say yes to God and as we choose to walk in community with His Holy Spirit and with His church, my Bible says that good fruit is produced. That it's not, it's a reflection of something that we've already decided to do. Like fruit is something that happens because of our decision to say yes to God. It's a result. It's not like if you do things this right way or that right way, then the result is this fruit. But if you say yes to God and you walk with His Holy Spirit, then He bears fruit in your life. And we often neglect or reason with ourselves that I am not producing fruit in this area. And therefore God must not be anointing or walking in or setting aside this area for me, so I'm going to step back. But sometimes we just need to call those results into being. That's all fruit is, result. Okay, so we need to call those results and walk as if those results have already happened. Your life is bearing fruit. Philippians, sometimes we feel like this result in my life, that it's slowing down. I feel like I got a promise from God, and then that promise seems a long way off, seems in the distant future, and therefore I'm ready to give up on the process. Have you been there? I've been there before, but thank goodness, my Bible promises me in Philippians 1, verse 6, says that we can be confident in this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it through to completion. That God is bearing fruit in your life. That the pruning process is so that you could have more and more result coming out of your life. You can have more and more faith coming out of your life. You can have more and more people meeting Jesus because of your life. Because of the way that you worship in church. Because of the way that you serve people. Because of the way that you love people, that God is bearing fruit in your life as you walk with Him and stay with Him and trust in Him. Sometimes we come around a time of giving, just like Matt was talking about this morning, putting God first in our finance, and we say, I haven't seen that breakthrough yet. That doesn't mean the fruit is not being produced in you. We come to a place of relationships. I've been single for this many years. You don't understand. You can't relate. You're absolutely right. I can't relate. Because I was only single for 19 years, and then I met Vanessa, and then we got married, and we were 19 when we met. There you go. That's the 19 years. But I can't relate. But there are things that I'm facing that you're not facing. And I have to choose to believe that God is bigger in these things. That He has already produced the fruit that I need in these areas. That He has already produced the result that I need in these areas. And we need to stop the negative thinking and the negative speaking and say, God has produced fruit in me in the name of Jesus. Rather than pray this prayer, God, give me breakthrough in this area, we need to pray the prayer, God, show me the breakthrough that You've given me in this area. That God is a God of breakthrough, and He has already done so much in your life, and He has already given you breakthrough, and we need to recognize it, and we need to call it out, and we need to speak it into being, because He is a good God, and He shows up for us, and He walks with us, and he bears positive result in our worlds, as it says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. It says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such things, there is no law. There is no ruling against such things. That tells me that there is no external thing that can come against the result that's being produced in a person who's walking with the Holy Spirit. And as you're walking with God, fruit is being made in you. There's a person in our church, he right now is serving in kids' ministry because he is a legend. But man, the fruit of joy in Drew Douglas. Who loves Drew Douglas? God, the fruit of joy that's being produced. Every time I see him, he's got a massive smile on his face. He's like praising God during worship. He's clapping. He's smiling. He's serving on two teams like nearly every week. He's doing incredible things, and he probably has plenty of reasons to not be so joyful, because like I've been in those moments where it's like I got every reason not to smile, but I'm going to choose to smile because I know that there's a fruit of joy in my life and I need to keep walking it out. But man, shout out to Drew. Let's give him a holler just so he can hear it back in the kids room. Oh my goodness. But here's the deal, is it doesn't just happen out of our own capacity. Fruit doesn't just happen out of our own strength. Fruit doesn't just happen out of our own habitual process of walking a journey out. But branches remain connected. Fruit happens out of being connected to Jesus. If I can just get the keys to come up in these last few moments. Jesus says, I am the true vine. We think that connection automatically equals fruit, but we need to consider, what am I connecting myself to? When Jesus says that I am the true vine, as I was saying earlier, that tells me and that teaches me that there's so many untrue vines that we try to connect ourselves to for purpose and for vision and for hope and for future. And there's no life in them, unfortunately. The vine is the source of life for a branch. The vine is a source of nourishment for a branch. The vine is a source of strength for a branch. And Jesus is saying that I'm the true vine. That there isn't anything that you need to connect yourself to that's going to give you nearly as much life as me. That there is nothing in this world that you can plug into that's going to give you nearly as much help as me. There is nothing in Toronto that you can root yourself in that's going to nourish you as much as me. And we get caught up in plugging ourselves into these untrue vines. That if I can read enough books on how to combat this thing that I'm facing. If I can get enough knowledge in me, the vine of knowledge tries to make itself known, that if you can know enough and learn enough, then you'll be able to like conquer this life in a big way. But that's an untrue vine. That there is one source of comfort, there is one source of conquering, and it is the true vine that is Jesus. And so you don't need to read another help book on how to budget right. You don't need to read another help book on how to have right relationships. You need to connect yourself to the true vine who gives you insight and wisdom on how to run relationships, on how to manage your finances. And I'm not saying that those books are bad, but I'm saying that the focus needs to shift a little bit. That we're in this God First series where our focus needs to shift a little bit. Where God doesn't become this added thing. God doesn't become this suggested value that hopefully touches certain areas of our life. But then this one area I'm just going to keep for myself because it's comfort. I'll have God be second in this area. We sit there because we're like, man, We all do this. I do this all the time. Probably the biggest area that I do this with is my physical fitness. I think that, like, you know what? I can just live the way I want to live. Like, you know what? God is good and He loves me just as I am. Absolutely. God loves you just as you are. But He's calling you to be bigger. I have this sense so often that I need to eat better. I have this sense so often that I need to go to the gym more. I have this sense so often because God is teaching me that as I connect myself to Him, He is cutting away laziness. He's cutting away this sense of like, I'm going to sit back. He's cutting away because He's molding me to be bigger. And He's molding you today to be bigger and better. And He's cutting away areas in your life. And He wants you to connect to Him as the true vine so that you can find vision and you can find purpose and you can find hope. We connect ourselves to the vine of my reputation so often. Do I have enough following on social media? I'm going to check it again. Oh, I got a couple more followers. How many likes did I get on that? How many people watched my story? What are these people doing in their lives? And we connect ourselves to this vine of my reputation, and then something in it gets hurt. Someone says something bad about it. Someone writes a nasty article. Someone writes you a nasty email. Oh my goodness. And it's tough. And you have a moment where it's like, oh, I feel so broken. I feel so defeated. Because the source of your life and the source of your vision wasn't rooted in the right vine. It wasn't connected to the right thing. Because when your hope is sure in Jesus, I can take any nasty emails that people are going to send. Please don't send me nasty emails. It hurts my feelings. I cry. I get reminded I need Jesus. But we get so hurt and defeated, and it takes us back. Because we need to be reminded that we need to connect to the thing that encourages us. We need to connect to the being that brings us life and hope. And his name is Jesus. Verses 5 to 8, I'm just going to read again. I am the vine, Jesus said. You are the branches. If a man remains, season after season, if you remain in me, God says, and my words remain in you, you will bear much fruit. You can ask whatever you wish and it'll be given to you. Maybe you feel like, I've already grown so much outside of this true vine. I've already established so much outside of the true vine that is Jesus. I have good news for you. There's an opportunity for you to become grafted into the true vine. The process of grafting, I don't know how many winemakers are out here, but I learned about this and I was like, man, that is awesome. But what they do is they take a plant that is pretty mature as it is. It's in the maturity building stage. It's in the growth stage. And they tie it into a plant from a different environment. So they'll take vine branches from like California or vine branches from Italy that make really nice wine, and they'll tie them into the roots, the stem, the vine from Ontario, so that they can grow and flourish here. And we have an opportunity to be grafted into the vine of Jesus. That we've built this branch, but there is an opportunity to grow stronger in the environment that you're about to face. There is an opportunity to be unshakable in the place that you're walking into. But you need to graft yourself into this vine that is Jesus. And he will bear much fruit in your world. He'll help you continue to grow and continue to build. And so I want to invite some people today to be included in a prayer that just says, I want to make my life right with God. Faith is a decision. Just what Amanda was saying. Belief is a decision. Choosing Jesus is a decision, and it's the best decision that you can make. To say, I want to connect myself to the true vine today. And maybe you're in this room and you've never met Jesus before. You've never walked in relationship with him before. And today, in a moment, I'm going to invite you to commit your life, to make a decision to say, yes, I want to start this relationship with Jesus. And all I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand. I'm not going to single you out. I'm not going to call you to the front. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. But all it's doing is saying, yeah, I want to be included in this prayer that makes my life right with Jesus. Maybe you're here and you know you've walked with God before. You know you've even been connected to this true vine before, but you found yourself disconnected. You found yourself cut off. You found yourself out of the place of hope, out of the place of strength that comes from this true vine that is Jesus. And today you want to make a decision that I'm going to reconnect myself to the vine. I'm going to reconnect myself to Jesus. I'm going to walk with him again. If that's you, the same thing. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand so to say, yes, I want to be included in that prayer. So if everyone could just close your eyes and bow your heads, it's because this is a personal decision.